Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bible, and I trust you do, and you'll follow along as we have the great privilege once again to read from the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. My, it's great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's great to rejoice, and the music has been fantastic this week. In fact, when I heard that organ playing, I thought there must have been a band or instruments in the back. I mean, it just sounded so real. It was fantastic and great. And all the special music. Keep inviting folk now to come and to the service. And if you invite them, they'll come. If you don't invite them, they probably won't come. So be inviting them. As the pastor mentioned, we do have a CD of a Bible Land tour. It's 2 hours long. And if you'd like it, we'll be glad to share it with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. One of the great, interesting passages found in the Word of God. Beginning with verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Then the last two verses of this chapter, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts before thee tonight. We're thankful again, once again, for the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. We're thankful we can read it. We're thankful we can study it. We're thankful we can listen to it. We're thankful we can be challenged by it. Now, Lord, tonight, would you speak to us afresh from your Word? Would you challenge these dear folk that are here tonight? And, Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, boy or girl, teenager, adult, Lord, would you show them tonight that you love them and that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that they might be saved? So that tonight might be the night of beginning in their life. Challenge us as Christians again, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, every one of us are time conscious. We're aware of the time. And I'm sure around your house you have several clocks. Several clocks, and every now and then, maybe you wake up at night or go up at night and look at the clock. Because time really regulates our life. Now, as we look at the scripture, there's a lot said in the Bible concerning time. In fact, I read, the Bible says, behold, now is accepted time. It talks about there's a time in our life to get saved. There's a time in our life to surrender to the Lamb. There's a time in our life to live for Him. There's a time. I read on Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. And it talks about now. Not later, but now. I read in Zechariah 1 and verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways. Something that ought to be done, not later, but now. I read in Romans 13, verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. So many, many places in the Word of God, it talks about time. It talks about now. It talks about things that we ought to take care of in our life presently and not delay and not put them off. Now, as we look at the scripture that I read tonight, we read in the very first two words, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, I'm so thankful for this church and for all the boys and girls and young people that are in this church. Because as we travel the length and breadth of this country, there are churches today that do not have a lot of boys and girls. They ought to be reaching out to them, but somehow they don't. But the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You see, that's the time when individuals need to get saved. And there's two reasons for that presented in verse number one. It says here, while the evil days come not, before they're faced with the wicked, wicked things of this world, they need to get saved. Secondly, nor the years draw nigh. The older a person gets, the harder it is for that person to make a decision. And it's a challenge to me. Now, I look back in my own life, a product of a broken home. My dad leaving home with another woman, and she got saved. My mother got saved. And her favorite song, by the way, is one that we sung tonight, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter and I'm the clay. Though she was crippled and could not get out of the rocking chair, she could not help herself, she could not unlock her jaw, she couldn't do anything, but she got saved. But I got a job working for a drunkard, working for an alcoholic, very, very wicked man. You name the sin, it'll flash across my mind. I've rolled over in vehicles. I managed when the vehicle was upside down, I managed to get out of my side and go around and open the door and pull him out. I heard him stand on the side of the car with his hands on the frame. And he said, would you promise to do something for me? I said, what? He said, would you promise not to tell my wife? I said, I don't have to tell her. The car is upside down. It's smashed. But while I was in that home, a dear lady, a lay pastor's wife, came to our house and invited me to a tent meeting. I'll never forget her. Never forget her, because she always wore on her head a red or blue polka dot handkerchief tied in front, a few sprigs of hair coming out the back. And I really never knew why until I found out one day, as a young girl, she was helping her mother do the wash. And they had what back then was called the power wringer. And her long curls, hair, got caught in that power wringer and tore hair off the top of her head. But she came to invite me to a tent meeting. I got the milking done, got the chores done, and I went there and sat there on that wooden plank, and I heard a preacher stand up, a Baptist preacher stand up, and preach the Word of God, and he preached about sin, and every time he preached about sin, he pointed his finger at me. No, he was pointing his finger at everybody. But I sat there and I looked down, because everybody in that community knew that the Sanders were terrible sinners, because it was a terrible, terrible thing that my dad did in leaving my mom. And leaving his family. And I sat and looked down. Then he took the Bible. Said, I want to tell you about somebody that loves you. And I looked up. Because I wondered if anybody loved me. I had my face and my nose rubbed into the dirt so many times by individuals. And laughed and mocked at me. But when he said somebody loved me, I looked up. And he told me about God and his love and Jesus dying on the cross. And he said, if you'd like to become a child of God tonight, if you'd like to be saved, I invite you to slip off that wooden plank and come forward. And I did the most embarrassing thing I suppose I've ever done. I stood up, made my way to the aisle, and I heard the whispering, that's the Sanders boy. And I came down an aisle, got on my knees, and I became a child of God. born into the family of God. I got saved, though I was living for an alcoholic and working for a man. But because I got saved, my lips have never touched the terrible stuff, the wickedness and immorality that was so prevalent. God preserved me and kept me. Why? I got saved. That's why we need to reach boys and girls for Christ. I was in a church some time ago, and when I give the invitation, many times I see boys and girls raise their hand. And this particular service, a boy raised his hand about salvation. His mother reached over and pulled it down. The next night, when I gave the invitation, the same boy raised his hand. His dad reached over, pulled his hand down. I said to the dad at the door, I said, your son understands what I'm preaching. I said, why don't you go home tonight and show him from the Bible how to get saved? And the dad said, I'll do it. And I'll never forget it, because the next night we met for prayer up in front before the service. And then we'd walk directly out on the platform during the service. And the pastor and I would walk. In fact, it was in the back. We'd walk up the aisle together to start the service. And as I was walking up the aisle, all of a sudden, a boy stepped out in front of me, threw his arms around me, said, preacher, I got saved last night. I got saved last night. You see, that's what the Bible says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. That's when they did get saved. And mom and dad, you need to make sure that your children are saved. Oh, thank God for the boys and girls. Never be embarrassed when they come forward. Thank God for it. But there's a second thing I notice in this passage. Remember now thy Creator when we're getting older. Now, every of us here tonight are getting older. And it's kind of humorous when you look at this passage of Scripture that God has given, because it speaks of what takes place when we get older. Now, notice what it says. Verse number 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, this is my house. And when we get older, the keepers of the house begin to tremble. Now, what's the keepers? That's our hands. They begin to tremble. They begin to shake. They begin to shake. And then it says, secondly, the strong men begin to bow themselves. What's the strong man? That's our legs. That's what holds up the house. And what happens? They begin to bow. And I see dear folk walking around stooped a little bit. I say, don't make fun of them. It may come to you someday. And then I read thirdly, it says, the grinders cease because they're few. That's the teeth. We get a few. And after a while, we've got to have those things pulled out, and you get some artificial ones in there. And then you've got to have some kind of cement that you put in there. Otherwise, see, we're getting older. And then I read in this scripture, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. That's our eyes. We have to have glasses on so that we can see properly. See, we're getting older. And then we go on in this path. The doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound and the grinding low. You know what the most common word that's uttered in our motorhome? The most common word that's uttered in our motorhome is the word what? My dear wife would say to me, what did you say? I'll say to her, what did you say? And even though I have some things here, hearing aids, I think sometimes they're worthless because I can't hear with them and I can't hear without them, either one. But that's what the Bible says. The doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the music. And then it says, he shall rise up with the voice of the bird. Now, isn't that tremendous? You see, the older you get, the earlier you wake up in the morning. You can say amen if you want to. It's true. My wife and I wake up early in the morning. We get up early in the morning. And sometimes we'll wake up and lay there in bed and listen to the birds outside and so on and wonder when it's going to get light so we can get up. But oh, dear friend, you see, we're getting older. And then it goes on in this passage. It says in verse number 5, and also they shall be afraid of that which is high. Fear shall be in the way. We're afraid of high places. Now you teenagers that are here, young people, probably you like to go to the fair. And I like to go to the fair at one time. They had what's called a Luva plane. A body of an airplane, and the thing would go around like this and then around like this and all. And I liked to ride it because my goal in life was to be a pilot. I'd get on that crazy thing and ride it and ride it and ride it. It was wonderful. It was thrilling. But in California for meetings, with my brother, we went to Knott's Berry Farm. And we decided we'd get on one of these rides. And he said, let's get on this water slide thing. We got on that thing and got on and began to go down fast and fast and fast in that thing and so on. And all of a sudden, I said, stop this thing, I can't wait. And we got to the bottom. I'd lost my lunch. I learned something. Height bothers me. It bothers us. You see, we're getting older. And then it mentions here as well, the almond tree shall flourish. And I look out over the auditorium, I see some almond trees flourishing. The white hair. And it goes on in this passage, the grasshopper shall be a burden. What's that? The little things bother us like big things when we get older. Oh, that's the truth. That's the truth. And a little poem that I've had in my Bible, and it goes, the shape I'm in. Here's the way it goes. There's nothing whatever the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as I can be. I have arthritis in both my knees. And when I talk with a wheeze. And my pulse is weak and my blood is thin. But I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. I think my liver is out of whack. And I have a terrible pain in my back. My hearing is poor and my sight is dim. Most everything seems out of trim. The doctor must think my days are few, for every week he finds something new. And the way I stagger is a crime. And I'm likely to drop it any time, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Art supports I have for my feet, or I wouldn't be able to walk down the street. Sleep is denied me every night, and every morning I'm really a sight. My memory is failing. My head is in a spin. I practically live on aspirin. But I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Now the moral to this, as the tale unfolds, for you and me who are getting old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to let people know the shape we're in. You see, we're getting old. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator as you're getting old. Then the third thing I see in this passage, remember now thy Creator because we're going home. Death is knocking at the door. Think about it. Oh, I read that in the Scripture. I read here in verse number 5, it says, the mourners are going to go about the streets. I read here in verse 6, the silver cord is going to be loosed, and the golden bowl be broken, and the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. You see, death is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Every 10 seconds, 26 people die. And listen, it's coming. It's coming. That's why we must remember our Creator now. Not just when we're young. Not just when we're getting older. But because death is coming. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed. It's an appointed. You can take your calendar and write on that calendar some appointments that you have. You have to go to the doctor. You need to go to the dentist. You've got appointments. Well, someplace on that calendar in 2015, there may be an appointment for you to meet God. And every day, we ought to be aware of the fact of that appointment. It's appointed. It's appointed. It's appointed. Unto man wants to die. And after this is judgment. And when that comes, mourners are going to go about the street. When that comes, people are going to look down in that casket at you. Are going to look at a urn with your ashes inside. Death is coming. Now we don't like to think about it. We don't like to dwell on it. But we need to be honest enough, as the Bible presents, to remember now the truth, so we can be prepared when that day comes. And what's going to happen when that day comes? Well, I read it here in verse number 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His command, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's a judgment coming. The great white throne, judgment seat of Christ, rather, for the believer. The great white throne for the unsaved. There's a judgment coming. We need to remember now and be aware of that. I've been blessed with two sets of parents. After I got out of that drunkard's home and got saved, I began to pray, God, isn't there some place that I could work my board room? Some place where I could live that I could call mom and dad? And God answered my prayer. A dear couple by the name of Agnes and Leslie Lee, just south of Elk Mound, got a hold of me. They said, we don't have much to offer. We only have 80 acres. We don't have any machinery. We farm by horses and all that business. And we'd like to have you come and live with us. If you like it here, you can call us mom and dad. And we'll call you our son. Their children were growing. So I got a job there. And I went through high school and then on into college, of course. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful couple. Prayed for me every day and so on. And just a thrill. But the day came when they had to give up the farm. They moved to town. Dad was so energetic that he got a job working for the city at the age of 85. Working for the city. Pretty soon he couldn't climb the ladders anymore. And finally, Mom Lee couldn't take care of things. So she had to go to a home. And we're traveling, of course, in a motorhome. And it's not possible for us, of course, to take them. And so when we got there in that city, we pulled up in front of that nursing home where Dad and Mom were. They had to let go of the farm, let go of the White House. And Mom sat on the bed crying. And she began to cry. She said, son, I want to go home. I want to go home. She wasn't talking about the White House. She was talking about heaven. And I said, listen, the reason that God has not called you home is because of me. I need somebody to pray for me. And she prayed for me every day. But the day came when God answered her prayer. She'd been married to that man 74 years. And God called her home. I was in a meeting in Steamboat Springs and I had to fly out of Steamboat. And I fly back to the Midwest and attend the funeral. But then Dad, sitting on the edge of the bed, began to cry. He wanted to go home. You see, dear friend, that dear couple had lived every day, remembering the Lord, reading the Bible and praying. Didn't make any difference, springtime or harvest. Didn't make any difference whether farmers were in the field or out of the field. Didn't make any difference. Dad would say, listen, we'll get our crops in. We'll get the harvesting done. We were always, always in the house of God. Special meetings came. Back then, they didn't last for a week. They lasted for 2 weeks. And we were there every night. And when the day came, God said to my mom, I want you to come home. She went home. The day came when God said to my dad, Dad, I want you to come home. He went home. No struggle. Why? They remembered the Lord every day. How about you tonight? Are you here tonight as a boy or girl and you're not saved? Why don't you get saved tonight? Why don't you get saved? Don't put it off. Are you here tonight as an adult and you got some decisions you didn't make? What are you waiting for? Why don't you make them tonight? Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off like a dear lady that I led to the Lord and she was in a hospital bed and she began to cry and said, preacher, I would do anything if I could be baptized. I said to her, dear lady, it's too late now. It's too late. She was dying. You see, that's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time to get saved. Now is the accepted time to live for the Lord. Now is the accepted time to live for Him. Not tomorrow, but now. Amen. Make that decision. So when that day comes, it's okay. We'll step across the threshold out into eternity to be there forever. And forever. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not point you out. But I'm so concerned. I'm so concerned that we do not get careless with spiritual things. And I speak first of all tonight to boys and girls that are here. How many of you boys and girls that are here tonight, as you look into your heart, you say, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I'm saved. I'm talking to boys and girls now. If you know for sure you're saved, slip your hand up right now as a boy or a girl. Just slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Put your hands down. Now, are there some boys and girls here tonight you didn't raise your hand? You'd like to be saved tonight? Why don't you slip up your hand right now? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved tonight. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up. Don't be afraid. Anyone tonight? Anyone? As heads are bowed, is there an adult here tonight? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if death were to knock at my door tonight that I'd be in heaven. Would you pray for me? And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you slip your hand up as an adult and say, would you pray for me? I need to make sure now that I'm saved. Anyone tonight in this auditorium? Never be embarrassed. Just slip your hand up. Is there a Christian here tonight? You say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've not been living for the Lord. There's some decisions I need to make. There's some things I need to deal with. There's some sins I need to confess. There's some victories I need to claim. And God spoke to me tonight. Would you slip your hand up? Slip your hand up. Indicate, pray for me. Anyone like that? I see those hands. I see them. I see them. God bless you tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. I'm thankful you love us. Now, Lord, as we sing an invitation song, help individuals to slip out of that pew and come. Boys and girls or adults, individuals to come and make that decision and do it now. Not put it off, but do it now while there's still time. And we'll give you praise, for we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. 249 in your hymn book, 249. Let's stand together as we sing it.